Thank you for joining us here on The Neutral Zone. I am Phil Maloney, joined as always by my partner in crime, my esteemed colleague. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dalala.
Phil, we're back from the bye. We're rested up. We're ready to go.
How was the beach?
Oh, really nice. I mean, you were there, of course.
Yeah.
You were there. Ben Swanson was there.
The weather was still great. There. Yeah, he's still there.
He's still there.
Yeah, something about customs, like he couldn't get through.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to confiscate his swimwear.
Yeah, there's some sort of
it was illegal.
Some sort of issue there.
It was illegal.
So we've got our best kind of working on trying to get him back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, well, I mean, we got an extra day this week, Phil, because the Broncos don't play until Monday night. So
if you really think about it, we got an extra hour yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get an extra day.
Wow.
For the Monday night game. So it's kind of crazy.
What do we even do with all this time?
I don't know what to do. Make podcasts.
Content.
So, yeah, exactly.
Do the content.
It's king.
Makes sense.
It's king. The Broncos are at the halfway point of the season here. Right? Halfway through the season.
Sure.
It is halfway through the season.
Well, maybe halftime of this week, they'll be halfway through. Hard with an odd number of games.
But there's 18 weeks in a season.
That's true.
And we're through 9 weeks of the season. Yes. So
then the
that's
lengthy
halfway.
Playoff run, you don't want to discount that.
That's true, but don't sleep on the preseason.
Ooh.
So it kind of all works. Yeah, kind of. It's
halfway.
All there.
I like it.
It's all right there. So we're going to do a little sort of a reset. Where is this Broncos team at right now? Was that funny? Reset?
Yeah.
A reboot?
That's kind of what it makes
yeah,
me think.
Kind of a reboot?
Yeah.
Certainly no rebuilding.
No. Just a reset.
We heard from Broncos head coach Sean Payton on this fine Monday morning, and he sort of talked about where he thought this team was. So I thought that was interesting. He was very open, and he was kind of he said that this team is better now than it was 4 weeks ago.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago was right around that Jets loss.
Yep,
that was probably
1-4.
Things were not very good at that point.
No.
But now, much better.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting about Sean, Phil, is, and really any coach, is how do they treat these media availabilities? Like, what's the messaging?
The tone.
What's the tone? What's the vibe? The Broncos beat the Bears. Sean Payton gets up at the podium. He's not happy.
No.
The Broncos beat the Packers. He's not happy. He's like, there's a lot of things we could have done better. Why can't I be happy?
Yeah, sushi.
Sushi, all those sorts of things. And I think he's pushing these guys to want more and to expect more. Even after the Chiefs game, he said, hey, we're going to play in bigger games than that. Right?
Like, this
isn't about the streak. That's about being a good team. Today, Phil, his message was kind of, hey, we've come a long way. We've made some strides here. This is a better football team. And it was almost like, week to week, there's been that sense of, hey, we've got to be better, especially after wins of pushing the football team to be better. But I kind of like this messaging of, hey, halfway through the season, it's okay to look back and accept that we've done some good things here. We've made some progress. And maybe that inspires these guys and they think, hey, we can keep it going. But that was a shift in some ways from his previous messaging after wins of, hey, we got to be better. You know, we haven't done anything yet. Like, we got to keep winning. Today it was, hey, we've done some good things. We're playing better football.
Yeah, I thought that was good, especially coming back from the break, the guys back in the building on Monday. You know, I think that's a nice tone to say is like, hey, I appreciate all the hard work that you guys have put in. We've built some good things here. Now we got to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of that's a good message to send at this point. And, you know, he said that the Broncos had done a little bit of self-scouting, trying to pick up on some of the tendencies with regard to, like, the personnel that's out there, just trying to be smart about things. And then also talked a little bit about Jerry Jeudy, I thought was interesting, and then also Marvin Mims. Those are the two wideouts that came up today. And said, look, Jerry Jeudy's a big part of what they want to do moving forward here, and that they need to find ways to get Marvin Mims the ball more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those guys are, and he discussed, I think he said the fickle nature.
Yeah, fickle.
Of football, where Brandon Johnson has 3 touchdowns through week 5.
What the heck?
And Jerry Jeudy doesn't have any. Obviously, he gets one in week 8 against the Chiefs. But, yeah, moving forward, he's going to be a big part of this. It was interesting because you look at his stat line last week, right? You see 2 catches. Doesn't jump off the They're page big. At you. But Sean on Monday said he played fantastic against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if that's just, hey, big catches and big moments, or if he's doing other things that people might not realize, or if he was open in other situations. But, yeah, he's a big part of it. Marvin Mims. We're getting close, Phil, to that time of year where people start asking about that rookie wall.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if Marvin is able to avoid that a little bit just because he hasn't been used as much. So, well, but maybe it's like,
we're going to be doing that much. So you probably
going to need this guy at some point.
Of course.
And we didn't overload him early. So maybe down the stretch here, you see him get more and more involved.
You don't want to hit that rookie wall.
No, you really don't.
No, you got to take care of your body. You got to rest. You got to, you know, do things right during the week. You're prepared to play. But yes, I do think that it's easy to like look at Mims and be like, this guy's a real weapon. Like, you got to figure out ways to just get the ball in his hands a little bit. The Broncos have done some of that, you know, on like some of these end arounds or like a reverse or some stuff like that. I'm just curious to see how they continue to use him there, because him and Joelle McLaughlin, I mean, both of those guys, I feel like when they've had the ball in their hands, they've proven that they're legitimate threats. And so both of those rookies, you're just sort of wondering, okay, how do we get you more involved? Eric, there's only one football out there.
Well, hopefully. And so, if there's more than one, there's an issue.
There is an issue. Maybe that's a different sport.
Yeah, what sport would...
I don't like some sort of crazy... something.
A crazy, crazy sport. Two balls at once.
Exactly, yeah. Be a little bit crazy.
I can't even really think. Maybe
I don't know what
Quidditch?
It'd be. It's possible, something like that. Yeah, snitch you're all ball? Just sort of... yeah, I could. You're trying to do two things at the same time.
Yeah, is that too much?
Two things? No, I think
that's an appropriate amount.
I can handle that. I can handle two things. But yes, it's like, okay, if you're throwing it to Mims or you're giving it to Mims, that means you're not giving it to Jeudy or Sutton. And
you,
Javonte,
you're following it.
And if you're handing it off to Jaleel, that means Javonte is not getting it. So, you know,
there hasn't been the sort of you see sometimes around the league, even when teams are winning, guys are like, hey, I should be getting the ball more. I'm not part of this. We haven't really had that at this point. And I think that's obviously a good sign that guys are appreciating the opportunities when they come to them. What game was it, the Packers game or the Chiefs game, where there was a flea flicker that went to Marvin, but it just wasn't able to hit on it?
I think that was the Packers.
Yeah.
I kind of forget now. It could have been the
back-to-back home games really gets
you. Yeah, they kind of blended
together.
And then
we were on the beach all week,
bit.
And the sun and the
whatever
the
it was,
sand.
The running back kind of, I think it was Javonte. I think he turned around and tossed it back to Russ a little bit too quickly.
Oh.
You got to really sell it and suck those defenders up.
The USC one this
that
weekend.
He tossed it around too. That was nice.
He basically was 10 yards down the field and then, was
that,
like,
he was
never mind.
Wide open. Yeah, that was wide. That was nice design.
Great
it was
play.
Sort of off to the sideline, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't
a sweep almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sean kind of said he's going to have to take a look at that. He said he brought that play up all on his own.
A NASA play.
I believe NASA was working on that.
They worked on it.
I think NASA is currently building some facilities up at Cal Berkeley.
Oh,
so
they're a little busy.
I don't know. Yeah, watch out. ACC, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Cal's that's coming.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phil, you talk about tendencies. I just wanted to go back to that for 1 second.
Talk about that.
Our tendency, I think, if people are scouting us, Mondays, no Ben Swanson.
That is a
Thursdays,
tendency.
Yes, Ben Swanson. That's it. I mean, at this point, it's
what's the difference between
tendency.
A tendency and a rule? Because we're bordering
at this point,
on rule. Yeah, we're sort of
we're
rule.
Teetering.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting. I think that every team has some sort of a tendency, you know, and then if the opposition picks up on that, that's sort of the key, right? Everybody's trying to study, you know, players are trying to study their matchups. They're trying to pick up on those tendencies. Coaches are trying to pick up on overall tendencies.
They coach.
So you got to be careful about those type of things.
Yeah.
Like, for example,
overall tendencies.
Overall like, tendencies, like for the whole team, like play calling or...
Like a Vince Wilfork situation?
Tendencies?
Overalls.
Yeah. Overall tendency. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You ever rock a nice pair of overalls?
I don't think I ever have, no.
Never.
maybe when I get out on the farm.
Yep.
Then I'll put on some.
I bet our friend Brandon from Iowa has overalls.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
What makes you think that? Just the general Iowa sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if he's living inside Des Moines? In city.
I don't get the sense that that's what's going on. Wow. I think there's a picture or two of me as a child in overalls.
Like at Halloween?
No. I don't think so. I think I probably owned a pair of overalls as a child.
Yeah. A couple of former Broncos offensive linemen showed up to a game just wearing overalls.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Is that Dalton Reisner?
I think, and Ron Leary, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was, yeah. Preseason game, maybe, or some early season. You can't do just overalls.
Those are some big overalls.
Season. Yeah. Yeah. Barrel man, that's sort just of like, that's kind of like an overall situation.
That's true.
Suspenders.
Yep.
And a barrel. That's kind of like, that's pretty much an overall.
Kind of a next level sort of overall situation.
How do you think that became synonymous with like doing work? Like out on
barrels?
No, overalls.
Mm.
You know, like when you wear overalls, you're like, I'm about to do some work and get after it.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
There's something about the sturdiness, like.
Yeah.
Those things aren't coming loose.
Which is, of course, a huge problem. With regular pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You
never work in these pants.
Yeah. I need overalls.
Yeah, I need
overalls. It's a good question.
It makes
you think. If someone knows the history of overalls.
Maybe it went from pants and suspenders where they're like, why don't I just make this all one
thing?
Just one thing.
People kept losing the suspenders out on the job.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. That is possible. Mm. The origins. But regardless, it means you're about to do work.
It does.
Yeah.
Broncos got their overalls on this week.
They
got
to put their overalls on. When you go to Buffalo, although I did look at the early weather report.
Yeah.
We're 1 week out still, but it looks like it should be okay.
Yeah, I think I saw a high of 39, but a low of 32. So
very close.
Yeah.
Unlike Colorado. In Colorado, you could have like 75 degrees during the day and like 25 at night.
That's true.
And that's just like a normal day. That's not like a storm
blast.
That's
cyclone
just normal.
Or a bomb cyclone.
No, there's
or
no cyclone.
Arctic tundra
blasts.
Cone.
No blasts.
One of the things that.
Yeah, that's just normal.
Every year there's something. They're like,
yeah,
this is coming your way.
It's because the no humidity in the air. There's nothing to trap it. Whoa. It comes and goes with the sun.
Huh.
Yeah. Fact check true. It's like when you walk into the shade and it gets cold, you're like, oh.
Trees don't. That's not where trees grow.
You don't grow there. Yeah.
No,
they don't grow there. But yes, going to Buffalo is going to be a very tough test, I think. The Bills almost came back against the Bengals, but...
they went for two down 14?
Yeah.
You like that?
Were they down 8 and went for two or no?
Who knows?
No.
I think maybe.
Got it. Okay, got it. I wasn't sure. Some of the league-wide trends, you know.
The trends.
Down 8.
That isn't. It is interesting. You like that or no?
Going for two.
So they're down 14. They score a touchdown. And then rather than kick the extra point to go down 7, they go for two to try to be down 6.
To make it 2 field goals?
Score another touchdown, you win on your next opportunity.
Mm.
Whereas if you don't get it, then the next time you still have a chance to get the 2-point conversion and tie it.
So yeah.
I think the thought process is at some point, if you want to win the football game, you've got to have more points than the other team. We've come to learn that.
Wow.
And so instead of taking your chances in overtime against Joe Burrow, here's a chance. Can we score a 2-point conversion one time out of two opportunities?
How do you feel about it? I sort of feel like I'd rather extend the game.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to overtime.
I think if you get it, I like it. If you don't get it, I don't like
it. Yeah. It's strange because you would think that a 2-point conversion, 2 yards, it seems like it should be much easier than it is. But for whatever reason, it's not very easy.
Yeah.
Things are tight down there.
Christmas present.
Things are fast. That's what Sean said. If you had a nice play, he was like, but then why not just use that for a touchdown?
Smart.
Yeah, don't.
But if it's first and goal from the two, you have three chances. I don't want to use it on first down.
Not on first down, no. When you really need it, fourth and goal.
Yeah.
Boom. You unleash that thing. But yes, it feels like any time that the game comes down to one play, on the offensive side, all 11 guys have to be working in unison. If one guy, like on the O-line, loses his block, the whole play's done. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, it feels like a lot has to go right in order to get it, especially down there. It's not like it's fourth and two in the middle of the field.
I like to run it down there, man.
I know you. Yeah.
I like to run it.
Well, what did we learn this year? That if you convert a first down in the red zone, your chances of...
They go up.
They go way up, like exponentially.
Penalty, bad.
Penalty's really bad.
Some team, I can't remember who it was yesterday. They had a first and goal.
Penalty?
Or it was college football. Of course it was college football.
Yeah, they make mistakes.
I was watching the Ole Miss game.
They had
first and goal, I think, and ended up with first and 33.
Can't happen.
No.
Can't happen. Can't win that way.
I thought to myself, I know there's odds of scoring probably just went down.
Went down. Yeah, yeah. Analytics, man.
They didn't score.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I prefer to just kick the field goal and go down seven.
I do think it puts a little more pressure on the...
Defense? You get a little scared?
No, I think it puts pressure, like the Bills made it, and then there's more pressure on the Bengals because, well, now if we don't get a first down, they can go win the football game.
They win the game, yeah.
Whereas if you're up seven, it's kind of like, well, you know...
What's the worst that's going to happen?
Worst that happens.
We'll go to overtime.
Exactly. So, it's a little pressure on those guys.
Of course.
Joe Cool, he handled it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Not worried about
that. He don't
that.
Feel pressure.
No.
Of course, you would want to go in that situation. It's better to go for two earlier because then you know
what you need.
What you have to accomplish. Yeah. I suppose, aside from that, it's easier to score two field goals too. Like just, you know, if a drive stalls out or something, you can just, boom, kick a field goal. You don't.
Yeah. I guess it depends kind of when this is happening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
but Sean
time.
Said, what he kind of was asked about this sort of, and he said that like in a low scoring game, you tend not to be like quite as aggressive in these situations.
Yeah.
A talked higher scoring game.
You know, playing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
A couple times they went for it, then maybe they would have punted against other teams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it kind of just depends on the flow of the game as well.
Yeah.
So like what kind of game are we talking about?
What are we even?
Is it 14-0 or is it like?
Yeah, is it 35?
35-21. What is it?
Nice. That was good math.
Math. That's math.
I'm excited for this one, Phil. We'll talk much more about the Buffalo game, but it's just a good opportunity for this team to kind of go from, hey, nice win, good win over a team at home versus, hey, let's put ourselves on the map a little bit here.
Yeah.
If you beat Buffalo in Buffalo, that's a big deal.
And three wins in a row. The Broncos' next two games are on primetime.
Yes.
They're in primetime or on primetime?
I would say in primetime.
They're in the prime. Not to be confused with Coach Prime.
No. Different.
This is a little bit different. Kind of, little bit different, I would say. But they're going to be playing Monday Night Football. Then the following week, they're going to be playing Sunday Night Football. This is a chance for the Broncos to say, we're back.
We're here. Yeah.
You're going to get that work, as Tyreek said.
Ooh,
but then they lost.
They didn't get any work.
Actually, Kelce only had three catches. What do you think about that?
Tyreek gave the Chiefs defense some work to do because he fumbled it and then they returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah, and then they had it. Yeah. Hmm. Makes you think.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're going to get this work. That's maybe what he was talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to give him some work to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel better about the win over the Chiefs now that they've defeated the Dolphins?
I think that I knew how good the Chiefs were.
Oh, okay.
Like, they didn't have to convince me.
Right. But if the Dolphins had gone out there and smacked them around, you would have been like,
Yeah. Maybe not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there was a Germany impact. I don't know.
Yeah. The Dolphins were there for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And this time, I don't think that Kelce was at a World Series game.
No.
But Kelce didn't play that.
Three catches for 14 yards.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
What happened?
What's up with it?
I saw somebody tweet that the Dolphins thoroughly outplayed the Chiefs.
But they lost?
And I was like, you were down 21 to nothing. I don't really understand.
They lost that one. Yeah. That's not what you want to do.
I'd rather be outplayed and win.
Yeah. Yeah. The final scoreboard,
baby. I'm diff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Makes you think. Sean was asked on Monday, he said, okay, if you guys are better, what got better? And he mentioned the same thing on both sides of the ball. He said they stopped the run on the defensive side and their red zone defense was much better. And then he said on offense, they've been efficient running the ball and that their red zone offense has been better. So the same things, both sides of the ball.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah. The red zone offense, it was more of a last week thing. Like, they've kind of won. They beat the Packers in spite of that.
Yeah.
But last week it was definitely better against Kansas City. I think 3 of 5, and it really was 3 of 4 because that last game, or the last possession, they were just running the clock out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the run game is going to help this team go. Then you take shots down the field, make plays. Phil, there's something I think that he didn't mention turnovers, but that to me is a big thing, obviously.
Come in bunches.
You're not going to force 5 every week. I mean, you could, but you probably won't.
Hard to do.
But even if you can get 1 or 2 and then just avoid turning the ball over offensively, you're going to be in a good position to win. I think especially the way this team is playing, which is, again, efficient, pretty good at stopping teams in the red zone. If you just don't give teams free possessions, short fields, I think you're going to be in pretty good shape a lot of the time. So that stood out to me. And then there's just kind of this nebulous, like hard to put your finger on it, just this feeling of, in big moments, they've been better.
Yeah.
And
they execute at crucial times.
Right. The last few years, and certainly earlier this season, they weren't able to do that. The kind of learning how not to lose, learning how to win. I know it's just 2 games, but they did that against the Packers. They certainly did that against the Chiefs, where there were any number of moments in that game where it could have gone the other way and the Chiefs could have taken the lead, and the Broncos just kept responding. And I think if you're a player and you go to Buffalo, that gives you confidence that, hey, if we go down a touchdown, or, you know, we've got a 3-point lead late and we've got to hold it, or we're down 3 and offense needs to put a drive together, I think they've got confidence they can do that.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, and going on the road, I think you're going to have to rely on that running game. The weather starts to get cooler here. You want that running game. So I think that those things are built to have lasting success, I think, for this Broncos team. The defense has certainly been playing better. So, yeah, I think if you can go to Buffalo, like it was mentioned, the primetime games coming up here, you got a real chance to, after being 1-4.
1-5.
Oh, 1-5, I mean. You got a real chance to sort of be back here in the mix a little bit. So I think you got to be feeling decent about where the Broncos are right now, feeling you're starting to build a little bit of confidence moving forward. And this is a big game, I think, which is a few weeks ago, like when you're 1-5, you don't think you're going to be in any games that are like actually matter.
Yeah.
I think that the Broncos need to win this one for things to start actually mattering. But this is that opportunity to get back into the mix.
Yeah. When I look at it, I think you've got to find a way to win 3 of your next 4.
Yeah.
At the very least. Obviously, if you can win 4, that's great. Just never lose again. That'd be nice.
That is nice.
But 3 of the next 4 gets you to 6-6. And then I think
you're
kind of in that grouping that down the stretch of the season, you're going to be in it. And there's some tough games here in the next 4. You're at Buffalo. Minnesota's been playing well, even though
really
they've got a new quarterback.
Dobbs. Is Dobbs going to play? Who knows?
Who knows? Cleveland comes here. Their defense is probably the best in the league.
Been playing really well.
They're going to be a challenge. That's going to be a grinded out sort of slugfest type of game. And then you got to go to Houston and play this kid that's playing out of his mind.
5 tubs, was it?
5 tubs.
Dobbs.
470 yards, something like that.
So I think I was on the record on this program that I like Stroud.
Okay. Well, now you are. You are.
I said that during the draft, I think.
Okay.
I'll go back. Yeah. I'm going to check it.
But so I don't view this as like you have to win this one in particular. Like, I think you've got to win 3 of the next 4.
Be nice.
But what I do think you have to do is you have to go there and compete.
Yeah.
And you can't go there and lose by 20 or whatever. I think it's got to be a 1-score game in the fourth quarter where you've got a chance and you prove to yourself, hey, we can play with this team, because there are plenty of times, right, where you can be a good team and you're still not going to win every game. Like, the Dolphins are a good team, even though they went to Germany and weren't able to knock off the Chiefs, but
they're still a good team.
They showed in the second half, we can play with these guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what, you know, obviously a win is ideal and what we want here, but I think there's a sense of, either way, going and continuing to prove to yourself that you can play with this type of team that, as Sean mentioned, has been kind of in that discussion for a Super Bowl the last few years. They haven't quite gotten there, but they're in the playoffs every year. They're a good team. Josh Allen's a top, you know, five to 10 quarterback, depending on where you want to put him.
It's interesting you mentioned the turnovers. This is something that the Broncos, they might be able to get Josh to turn the ball over a couple of times. He's a very aggressive sort of quarterback, I would say.
Takes chances.
Takes some chances. And then also, he likes to go to Diggs a lot, which I feel like Diggs and Sertan is going to be, that's going to be an enjoyable viewing matchup.
Experience.
A nice experience for the viewer.
I think Pat is good friends with Stephon's brother.
Avon.
Right?
Diggs. Yeah, they both went to Alabama.
Yeah. Good friends.
Bama bros.
So that'll be a good matchup to watch.
That's going to be, I think, and he likes to go to him a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to be.
Well, and the Bengals last night for most of the game kind of doubled him. They had a safety over the top, forced him to go anywhere else. And then for some reason, at the end of the game, they were like, you can throw it to Diggs again, and he got a touchdown.
Yeah. Starts getting.
But that worked. Yeah, this is a. Broncos are a tough team. I think the way they want to be a physical football team. That's how you got to play. I think you got to defend Josh Allen similarly to Patrick Mahomes. And you got to be dialed in this week and have a good week of preparation. You can't. There's a fine line, right, between taking what you did against Kansas City and using that to push you forward and motivate you versus thinking, oh, we've got this figured out. We're going to go up there and smack them around. There's a fine line there. You don't want to get too confident.
No, you got to still have that chip on your shoulder, I think, a little bit.
A rat poison.
Excuse me?
That's what coaches sometimes, when you get too many compliments, they say it's like the rat poison.
Oh, it's like rat poison, yeah. I think Sean does a good job of he'll cut him back down. Get him ready to go. He was asked about Russell Wilson on Monday. He said that he's been impressed. There's still stuff to work on. And that, you know, Russ has been really good off schedule, climbing the pocket, moving around a little bit. And he said, you know, the number one job of a quarterback is to get his team in the end zone. And Russ has done a nice job with that.
Yeah. Russ has, I believe, 16 touchdowns.
That's nice.
That's nice. What's interesting is the Broncos have one rushing touchdown.
It's crazy.
It's kind of like you'd see a quarterback's thrown 16 touchdowns. They must have 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Broncos just have one rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Throw the ball.
Talk
about tendencies. Boom. Throwing touchdowns. Got to alert. Throwing.
Yeah. They're doing the touchdown play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Russ has played well. I think he got some criticism for that Chiefs game of taking too many sacks and, you know, part of that is you're extending plays to make plays. You're going to take sacks sometime. That also is a good defense. And so,
Want to get hit too much.
Right.
You got to protect yourself a little bit. Down the stretch, you want to be healthy.
About yardage, right? Like, are you in field goal range? You just throw it away, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But yeah, he's played well. I think he's played well enough for this team to win.
Yeah.
He's got to continue to play at that level. And this is something where I think the longer he's with Sean, the longer that they are working together, it's going to get better because they're going to figure out, hey, what does he do well? How do I put him in positions to succeed?
Yeah.
What should we stay away from? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, you figure that that's only going to continue to improve.
Yeah.
Which is it's good for the Broncos.
Good.
The last two things to touch on here, Eric. My favorite question maybe after the bye week is how did you watch the games? Did you watch them on TV? And when you watch, what are you watching for? What are you doing? Would you like that question too? That's probably my favorite. That's my favorite bye week question.
Yeah. I like, what did you do? Did you get some rest? Like how important like is that? The mental rest?
Yeah.
Get away from the game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are
up there for me.
Yeah. Like, man, did you watch that game? It was on prime time. You watched that last night? Did you watch that Bills game?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I watched that.
Well, he said he likes some sweets.
That was the second thing I was going to get to. Yeah, no, starting to learn a little bit more about Sean Payton. Does not like sushi. Last week, we do not know where he went after the Chiefs.
Well, I read an article from our friend Mike Kliss.
Oh, he had that scoop?
Before the game, he said that they would do something better, maybe some Italian.
Maybe some Italian.
Yeah, so we don't know for sure. I was like, ding, ding.
You're like, I have some recommendations.
I slid a list under
best
his office
carbonara
door.
In Denver. Right. Yeah. But then we also learned that when he watches a game, he has a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, Halloween just happened. Yeah. What are you eating? What is your sort of goat? Yeah.
I don't know what he's eating. I like something a little sour.
Oh, you like, yeah, something sour.
Yeah. I'm not a big chocolate fan.
That is crazy.
Though, if you have a nice bourbon, maybe you have a little chocolate to go with it.
That is true. That could be nice. Good, yeah.
That's kind of the time that I...
That's I'll when eat you that. Eat chocolate. Yeah. Yeah. I like chocolate, but only with bourbon.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Maybe a little orange, a twist of orange in there or something. And now you're talking. Now you got yourself a nice little something going.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I wonder if he's getting like some ice cream while he's watching.
Well, hot fudge sundae.
Yeah. Maybe he's having some M&Ms or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a something.
Yeah.
Like, that you maybe can, a candy that like some of these candies. Once you eat one, you just got to kind of keep going.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, you're gonna be careful,
like Sour Patch Kid or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a savory, I think, sort of a snacker.
Suave. It's kind of, well, yeah.
I would rather have like potato chips than a
like
candy.
Some, yeah.
You know, like a salt and vinegar potato chip. That's sort of my situation.
Nice.
Some nachos, maybe. Is that a snack or is that's like sort of a full-on meal? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's what I would.
Some pretzels.
Yeah.
A little peanut butter pretzel.
Oh, some peanut butter in there. Yeah. That's nice.
Right. Some bourbon.
That's really the only way to watch football, you know. Sometimes I do that while I'm working, too. Yeah, in the press box there. I know you do, yeah. You pour a little in your hot chocolate, you know, and
cocoa.
You relax. You watch the game.
I almost mentioned this on our last episode of the Neutral Zone. The press box was chilly last week.
Really?
And I kind of wanted some cocoa.
Unavailable too early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, you don't need this yet.
This begins in November.
Yeah. That's sort of the hot cocoa season is upon us.
October,
now.
They haven't started producing.
Only pumpkin spice. October.
Exactly.
November, you can do hot chocolate, I think. Yeah. Kind of makes you think. All right. Well, a lot more to get to here on Thursday, I think. Excited about this game. We've got some stuff in the works for Thursday's show, maybe. We'll do some research and we'll report back. Most anticipated games.
Ooh,
recently for
the last
Broncos.
Few years, yeah, it's got to be up there. This is a chance to prove are you legit?
Yeah,
you go and win in Buffalo,
back to back game. If you can beat the Chiefs one game and then the next game you beat the Bills, what do you want?
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you want.
Yeah,
I mean that's about as good as you can.
Then you're rolling.
Then you're rolling. Yeah. How would you right now? Like the Broncos are 3-5. Where do you think the other top, what are like the top teams in the AFC so far? Like if you're just thinking like we're at the halfway point, what do you think, who are the top teams?
Baltimore.
Yeah.
You don't want to play Baltimore right now.
No. Especially when Harbaugh, after the game, he was saying like, it's fun when you know how it's supposed to look and it looks like that. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah. I think Baltimore, I think Kansas City, you still have to put in that top tier.
Yep. Are the Bengals in there?
I would put Cincinnati in the top.
Jacksonville, maybe? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to get some heat for not putting some respect on the Jaguars. I think the Dolphins and Jaguars are maybe like the tier
below. Just touch below. Yeah, like a 1B sort of situation. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is in that.
Because I think the Bengals, like they've done it the last couple of years.
They're cooking right now.
Yeah.
Burrow's back.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got some legit weapons.
And I don't know if some of the other teams, I think, you know,
Buffalo's
good teams, but they're not quite on that. They're not cooking there.
They're not rolling. Yeah, it's not smooth.
Then the NFC, I think, is just kind of Philly right now.
Philadelphia, yeah. I thought maybe 49ers were there, but no.
They've taken a step back.
Yeah.
Got to prove it.
It's 3 in a row they lost?
Yeah.
That's a lot for them.
That is a lot for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems like it's just Philly right now. Don't know what to make of the Cowboys.
I think if you ask me one team that I'd be most scared to play right now, it would be the Ravens.
Yeah. Those Ravens.
They're good.
Yeah, they are good.
Good.
So, okay, well, that's our look at the Broncos here at the halfway point. We'll be back on Thursday with much more about the Monday night matchup in Buffalo. It's exciting.
Fired up.
Fired up, yeah. That's going to do it for us. For Eric Dalala, I am Phil Milani. You've been listening to... the neutral zone.